You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're doing all right. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate. Sometimes you gotta say it, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta say it. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. I got an email about our discussions about China, and I've got a few of them. Some are pretty interesting, but this one talked about time. Really, the timeline of a totalitarian nation, right? And I think he's a smart guy. And here, let me get it. I'll read parts of it to you. Hey, next week is going to be pretty cool. Yeah, like, I like All Marine Radio, but next week I'm going to love it. And let me tell you why. Yeah, before I tell you about China and somebody else's thoughts on China, let me tell you about next week. I told you about a Marine. I told you about a Marine that I met who told me a story, who did not in last January want to stay for post-traumatic winter. Right. And as the story goes, we were getting ready to do it. And at the Staff and CO Academy at Camp Johnson, right? Beautiful new facility. And the audiovisual guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, Mac, you got to come talk to this Marine. He's not going to stay." And I said, "Okay." So I walk over and I meet this Marine. Clearly, you know, hands are shaking, tears in his eyes, half angry, half upset. So I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, I can't watch shit like this." He said, "It just pisses me off." I said, "All right, come with me for a second." So we left and we go into this coffee kiosk. That guy, right? So, you know, his name is Matt, and I don't know that we'll use his last name. That'll be up to him. But anyway, so Matt tells me a story of when he was 9, his father committing suicide on the phone with he and his mother and his brother on the other end of the phone. His best friend in school, grammar school, hangs himself when they're in sixth grade. Leaves a suicide note and thanks Matt for being the only person on the planet that really cared about him. And his uncle, I think, murders his aunt, if I'm not mistaken. His brother commits suicide right after he graduates from recruit training. And then he finds out that his brother has been having sex with Matt's fiance while he's been away. So, I mean, you hear him tell the story and you're just like, holy shit, man. You know, and he's, what is he, 22 years old? He's a young guy. You know, and, but he sits through post-traumatic winning. And now he's saving people. And so you're gonna hear from him next week. You're also gonna hear an interview I did with General Zinni probably a month ago. And, but I didn't wanna publish it because I wanted to give General Van Riper a chance to pile on to the end of it. And so I'm gonna record that with General Van Riper on Monday. And then you'll hear the interview with General Zinni on Tuesday. It's awesome. General Zinni thought that the, core values for the Marine Corps should have been duty, honor, discipline, not duty, honor, commitment. And it's, like all things that come out of General Zinni's mouth, always, very interesting. Awesome. And it was one of the, it was the most fun couple hours I've ever had doing radio. To include the, we were on for an hour before that too. Not on, but we were just shooting the shit, an hour before that. So, so next week, and then, I'm gonna meet Lance Corporal Wright on Saturday. At some point, we'll see if he wants to come on. And then, the guy who wrote me this email, he introduced me to a couple of different people. One is a guy who was an artillery guy at Contien. Exactly. You know my Contien fetish. When men were men. I'm going to see if he'll come on and we'll do kind of a battle study of what he was at, either Jiaolin or Contien. I can't remember which one. But anyway, so next week's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm already geeked about it. And then probably in 3 weeks, I begin a traveling road show. At the end of next week, I go down to Camp Pendleton, do post-traumatic winning for 1st Maintenance Battalion. Fired up about that. Matt Hager, North Dakota boy. That's right, part of RCT-1. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan in 2010-11. Matt's a good dude. He's lieutenant colonel now. And so I'll go down there and do it at the Pacific Heights All Ranks Club on October 11th. So fired up about that. Fired up to see Matt, first of all. But fired up to deliver Marines something that they need to hear and something that will, I know, make an impact on them. So, always cool. And then the following week, on the 22nd, I do it for the first MEF information group, and then in the evening for their spouses. So, fired up about doing that. I used to be part of the MIG. I was the OPSO of it. And so, back when it was known as the MEF headquarters group, so it's changed a little bit. So, do that. And then I start, I go back to, do post-traumatic winning for the general officers of the United States Air Force at the Air Force Academy. They have their multi-day event. And, I do that. And then the next morning I fly to Washington DC, go down to Quantico and do it at the Commander's Corps. From there, fly up to Minnesota. Maybe get a chance to go to North Dakota. Yeah. Go see a hockey game, see my friends. But I'm not sure. Depends. So, and then on November 4th, do post-traumatic winning at Minnesota State University, Mankato, which is, just for the record, it is the first place I ever did post-traumatic winning in public. Yeah. It's a rough version. It's not as slick as it is now, but it was first place. Yeah. So, Tim up there, he's a former Navy CH-46 pilot who listened to All Marine Radio and was the first entity that ever invited me to come do it. So I did it last year for Veterans Day. And kind of interesting, the president of the university was sitting next to me when I got ready to speak. You know, and he made his remarks, and we're sitting kind of shooting shit and talking, and then I got up and I said what I said, which was essentially, to all the veterans out there, you know, what I do, I didn't come here to tell you not to kill yourself. What I came here to tell you is the nation needs you. So you need to pay attention, you need to get your shit straight, and then you need to go out and change people's lives. Your family needs you, your extended family needs you, the community needs you, and the country still needs what you have to offer. And so when I sat down, he looked at me and he said, "That's not what I expected you to say." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, I did not expect that." So I'll do that Mankato, and then come back here to Southern California and do it for 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. So the next month is going to be cool. Going to be cool. So, and who knows what will pop up between now and then. But anyway, so let me go back. Let me go back to China. The long circuitous week, and then month, and now back to China. All right, so here's the email. Wait a minute. Here it is. Listen to your discussion this morning. One thing not touched on, that's a very polite way of saying, you stupid asses, right? One thing not touched on is a different Chinese perspective on time. They take a much longer view of things than we do. To them, Taiwan will ultimately return to the fold. Yeah, but here's the problem, Mike. They were never in the fold. Mainland China has no historical, right, claim to Taiwan. Anyway, that aside, similar to how they waited out the Brits to get Hong Kong back. No need to invade. Grant, as in that Grant Newsham, talked about the growing reunification movement in Taiwan. He did. Talked about that relative to the next Taiwan election that's coming up. Pretty interesting stuff. And how many people in Taiwan view the you know, between the devil and the deep blue, they'll take the deep blue, which is reunification. I shouldn't say reunification, unification. It was never re to begin with. Mike goes on. They see the South China Sea as being in their historic sphere of influence, analogous to how we view the Caribbean. Again, only a matter of time. They will continue to build up their Navy and develop access and relationships while our Navy and power projection capabilities continue to deteriorate. Yeah, not a very good thing. You know, and not only ours, but our allies. Our allies have withered to the point of, you know, they not being non-existent. The British Navy, right? Once proud, world-dominating British Navy, not so much anymore. We look at the 2035 time frame as a potential collision date. I would bet the Chinese look towards the end of the century. So I don't think an armed conflict with China will happen in our lifetimes, even if we live to be 100. The Spratlys in the South China Sea are important for what may be under them. In addition to fertile fishing grounds, there is lots of speculation that there is large oil and gas reserves beneath the Spratlys. And then he ends with this. This is why, like, I love doing Almarine Radio. And I've always loved, since I started doing radio, kind of the intellectual interplay that you get when you do a show like this, when you moderate something like this. He ends with this. Geography may be on our side, and it is. Time may be on China. So, interesting email. So the question is, can China as a totalitarian state survive in an age of increasing interconnectability on the planet? Ultimately, will that do their totalitarian state in? Now, there's been people that have contended that that's exactly what will happen. But the Arab world has so far, they have not succumbed, and people in the Arab world have much more access to the internet, to digital communications than people in China do. China has succeeded in controlling that. People in the Middle East, not so much. Yet, the governments there continue to control them. So the question is, can totalitarian regimes continue to thrive? And I'm not talking about, you know, states like, you know, the Hermit Kingdom, where you're geographically isolated, you know, on their ass and all of that. You can keep that small population probably isolated for a long time. And will capitalism, with weak politicians that are constantly begging, just give me a morsel and I'll cut a deal with you. Just give me a morsel and I will cut a deal and I will sell it to my countrymen as, this is as good as we could get. Okay? This is as good as we could get. We'll celebrate a victory while handing you our heads on a platter. And this is the John Bolton. He says he's quoting Churchill, but I can't find the Churchill quote that he's referencing.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
John Bolton. Yeah, that is the lesson of World War II. If the Allies would have confronted National Socialist Germany when he marched into the Sudetenland, or when he marched into Poland, or when he marched into Czechoslovakia, right, you would have been talking about tens of thousands of people dead. What happened was 5% of the world's population died. 5% of the world's population died. Somewhere between 70 and 85 million people died of all causes. So, anyway, can China make that kind of a totalitarian system work? Now, to me, the things that are kind of interesting when you look at the longer view, the thing that the United States has going for it is its freedom. Its freedom. The thing that the United States also has going for it is the financial system that the world has embraced. Free trade. It runs through the United States and London. Why is that? Because we protect intellectual property. Legally, we protect it. You can come to this country, you can see somebody, and you can have their assets seized, you can stop what they're doing. No other country in the world does that, other than the Brits and Western Europe. The rest of the world, you know, take what you want. And so, for that reason, the United States will always be a magnet for innovation that rules things. And so the question is, will the United States and our weak-ass politicians, and let me tell you this, the other component of this, in my opinion, is are stupid ass general officers. Yeah, again, every stupid thing we've done in Afghanistan and in Iraq, we've been escorted there by the general officers of the United States military. At some point, they have to get their heads out of their ass, and they have to develop the moral courage to say, sorry, I can't be a part of that. Boom. I'm out. Right. In the spirit of Greg Newbold, who was on active duty and said, I can't do this. I'm out. So, do we have the politicians and do we have the military advice to continue to steward the United States and the Western world, you know, through the next century? Interesting question, right? If you look at TV, the answer to that is no, we don't. We don't have the human capital that's capable of that. Instead of dealing with the issues in front of the American people, we have this fucking bullshit show that goes on a daily basis. Right? And both sides play it. It's disgusting, unworthy of the nation. All right. So, now with that off my chest, welcome to Friday. Yeah, I talked to one of my lieutenants last night from a long time ago, and he said I can't even watch the news anymore. And he's a conservative. He said it's just both sides. He said it's just disgusting. Can't do it. I said, hey, finally, how long did that take? Right? Be disciplined about where you get your news so you can stay up on current events and turn the rest of it off. Besides, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's not the nation. But what does the electorate have to do to get the people in Washington, D.C. to understand that we're so sick and tired of this shit that we want you to go and we want you to deal with the southern border? Okay? We want you to deal with health insurance. We want you to throw these fucking doctors, right, in jail for 1,000 years. That prescribed opioids for profit and killed people. I saw a statistic yesterday, right, that said more people were killed last year in the United States with opioids than were killed in the Vietnam War. Let me see if I can find it. That's not it. Probably be in news. CBS News. Drug overdoses killed more Americans last year than the Vietnam War. How about that for a data point for you? Got my attention. 58,000, right? The latest numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show that 64,070 people died from drug overdoses in 2016. That's a 21% increase over the year before. Approximately three-fourths of all drug overdose deaths are now caused by opioids, a class of drug that includes prescription painkillers as well as heroin and fentanyl. So the latest year that they have data on is 2016. 64,000, 58,200 Americans were killed in Vietnam. The report also showed that the 64,000 drug fatalities outnumbered motor vehicle deaths in 2015, which was 35,000. Age-related deaths in their worst year of the crisis when 50,000 people died in 1995, the peak year for homicides in the United States, 24,000 people were murdered in 1991. Suicides have been rising in the United States for 30 years, totaled 44,193 in 2015. Yeah, so throw those son of a bitches into jail forever, right? We want you to find a solution for the whole immigration deal, too. Deal with the Dreamers, deal with their parents. We want you to take a look at our nation's economy, right? When I was a kid, most people that went to work, right, they could count on having a retirement. They had good health care plans. Now you got a 501. I'm sorry, a 501. You have a 401k, and you've got, you know, the bare bones health insurance that your business can provide. And you're paying a ton of money if your kid's in the hospital. The lot of the American worker is shittier today. And that's not a good thing for the middle class, which has been the bedrock of the United States. So the country has major issues in front of it. All right? Major issues in front of it. And yet, what do we see on TV? They don't do shit about any of that. They don't do shit about any of that. It's disgusting. They just play this burn-it-down game of chicken for the White House. So, yeah, when I look over the horizon, I'm not encouraged by the future of the country. So, with all of that positive energy channeled already, good morning to you. But let me tell you what I am fired up about. I am fired up about post-traumatic winning. I am fired up that you're going to meet Lance Corporal Matt. I am fired up that you're going to get to hear General Zinni and then General Van Riper rebuttal. And so I'm excited about all that. So good morning to you on a Friday. Whitney Houston makes it official. Here's an email. Mac, are you really playing John Bolton audio? Look, I know, I'm not the great, you know, look, Bolton sometimes has been lost in the sauce, but his quoting Churchill is spot on. The only thing you fail to do when you fail to confront totalitarianism, when it acts out, is you create a higher, you're going to pay a higher price at a subsequent date and time. So, that's what that is. Anyway, on that note, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to the smart people that listen to the radio and comment. I really love the discussions that we have here on All Marine Radio, the thinking that it makes me do. I enjoy the history that we talk about. And so it's dedicated to everybody who contributes. Thank you. There's no really need to play that a second time, so this is actually dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. Standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For the campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility
to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to do a little bit of weather. I'm just pinging Montana Man. He's been in River City for the last few days, so gotta find out what his fucking problem is. Alright, weather currently. Sunny and 76 in the nation's capital, where the president looks like he's blowing a gasket on the front lawn of the White House. Yeah. Let me tell you, Donald Trump, how old is that dude, man? He's in his 70s, isn't he? Hold on, let me look at 72? He is, how old is he? 73 years old. Yeah, I mean, for 73 years old, he goes, man. But he might want to dial it down this morning because it looks like his head's going to explode. Anyway. Alright, where was I? Oh, the weather in Quantico. Camp Lejeune is getting hot on the East Coast, man. Sunny and 87 right now. And it's only, what, 11:38 in the morning. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, cold. Sunny and 65. Camp Pendleton, on the other side of the mountains, not the coastal side, but the inland side at the air station, sunny and 56 degrees. How about that? Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, 74. Okinawa cooled off, clear, dark, and 74. In Ramadi, early in the evening, clear and 86. In Lashkar Gah, the provincial capital of Helmand, it is evening, 75 degrees under clear skies. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, it's 60 degrees under sunny skies, looking for a high of 77. On a day, if you're a baseball fan, come on, man. Are you kidding me? Like, don't even think about working today. It's a joke, right? You got baseball games starting in, what, 3 hours? Going till midnight. That's right. The playoffs, baby. Dodgers, pretty good pitching duo for a while, and then the Nationals imploded. But today, you have all four division championships, all four on TV, starting at 2:05 Eastern time. That would be 11:05 Pacific time. Tampa Bay takes on Houston. I think his first name is Tyler Glasnow versus Justin Verlander. That's right. With any luck, we'll get to see what's her name. Justin's wife, Kate. What's her? I can't remember her last name. Anyway, in Atlanta, Flaherty versus, what's that guy's name, Foltwitz? Hold on, I can pronounce his name. But why my browser's at 80%, straining my eyeballs, I'm not exactly sure. That thing needs to get bigger. Flaherty at Foltwitz. Right? The Yankees and the Twins get going at 4 o'clock Pacific time. Berrios and Paxton. In the Bronx, baby. Yeah. And then at Dodger Stadium, right? The Nationals and the Dodgers get going. Yeah. Strasburg and Kershaw. Battle. That's like the Mothra takes on Godzilla in one of those Japanese crazy horror flicks, right? Those things are so horrible. But people would watch the shit out of them. Godzilla, you know, destroys New York. All those stupid movies that they would make. Yeah. So, anywho. Yeah, there you have it. There you have it. Baseball today. Shithole weather updates. Let's see if Montana Man came through. He's sending pictures. He's sending pictures of ponies, for Christ's sake. Oh, no, he did. He's in Idaho now. That's why we haven't heard from him. When he goes back to Idaho and he does his farrier business, that means he shoes horses for a living. That's right. But he's not a big fat blacksmith guy, right? You know, big guy, hairy, you know, blowing air on the forge, putting horseshoes in there and all that kind of shit. He doesn't do that. He's not that kind of guy. All right, so we'll start up in Idaho, Salmon, Idaho. Overcast and 50, slight breeze from the west. Right? Here's an update from Tijuana. Sunny and 60 degrees in Tijuana. Smells like burning tires again. Ah, that's awesome. I love shithole weather, man. And the little comments, right? Worcester, Mass. Yeah, you even put it, yeah. It looks like Worcester, right? But that's not how they, that's how not the hillbillies of Massachusetts say it. Era. You know, speaking English as a second language. Era. Cuber. I think there's an A on the back of that son of a bitch, isn't there? A? Not an ER? Anyway. Yeah, and they make fun of people that, from the South who talk crazy. So from Worcester, Mass, it's dark. Showers in 47 degrees, kind of like Okinawa, but not as warm. Clearing expected, then a perfect fall Saturday. Have a great weekend. Chris from Webster. Out. Chris is actually pretty funny. Shithole weather. From Vacaville, California. Beautiful. Currently 49 degrees under clear skies. 6 miles an hour of wind from the north, looking for a high of 79 today in Vacaville. In, I thought Libby, we were going to get a weather update from Alabama, but oh no, she just gives us her opinion. From Pleasantville, Pennsylvania, 50 miles east of Erie, Pennsylvania, currently 49 degrees, looking for a high of 57. Under cloudy skies, winds out of the north-northeast. Well done, Nancy, even through the extra digit, so we know it's a little bit more north than northeast at 9 miles an hour. Rain is on the way, sucking it up, listening to All Marine Radio. There you go, Nancy, you're listening. From Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, approximately 200 miles north of Minot, North Dakota. October is a notorious month for wild temperature springs in Saskatchewan and the north, as the chef will attest to. Churchbridge and Minot will experience a noticeable drop in weather temperatures starting on October 9th. Do you ever miss North Dakota? I do sometimes. My kids do. They miss the snow. Churchbridge is currently overcast and 39 degrees Fahrenheit, winds out of the south at 16. Minot is overcast and 39, winds out of the southeast at 17. For this afternoon, Churchbridge is looking for cloudy skies and 52 degrees. Minot will be sunny and 57. So there you go. There's two weather forecasts. Another email from Nancy. Preach it, Mac. So very much with you about all of this. See? Nancy, you're a smart woman. This is from Libby, right? Our resident Alabama tsunami lady. Entitled Bolton. That is why this is such a great, this show is such a great source for news. You call it like it is. Libby, the truth needs no salesman. That's an original fucking Mike McNamara quote. The truth lands with a thud and needs no salesman. That I always attribute to Kanye West. That's a pretty interesting part of post-traumatic winning. When I tell them, I look and say, yeah, and if Kanye West said that shit, what do we all know about it? And then they yell, it's legit, it's bullshit, right? And I say, yeah, but he didn't even say that. I made it up and put his name on it so you would think it's cool. And then they laugh and they're like, that's fucked up. And I say, buddy, could have said it, right? That's how fucking legit I am, okay? I can write Kanye West lyrics at 61, almost 62. Holy fuck. Baseball. Did you fail to mention the St. Louis Cardinals going down to Atlanta and sending 50,000 Georgians home in tears? How about that fucking center fielder for Atlanta who doesn't run and is watching in the playoffs? Hits a ball off the wall. Oops, didn't think that was going to happen. Only gets a single out of it. He would have scored on the subsequent two plays. They wind up going into extra innings. His team winds up losing. Right? Life's tough. It's tougher when you're stupid. Yeah, and you know what? The worst part about that, if you read any of the quotes or listened to it, is that he was already benched during the regular season for doing that shit. It's the playoffs, dog. Somebody need to tell you to fucking play hard? That dude was raised wrong, man. He was raised wrong. And you know what? You can't rightly get that out of somebody. Yeah, he's a talented dude, too. But you know what? He'll never be great for that reason. Weather from Alabama. Out cutting the grass. It's still hot, that is all. What? See, that's how they do the weather. That's how they do the weather in Alabama, where women cut the grass. I need a woman like that. Yeah, because I'm... Oh, this is from Dave in Vacaville. He's calling out Nancy. Nancy, stop kissing ass, LOL. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll do a couple news stories. The chef is already called in. The chef is so excited. He's already dialed in and listening to the program. So, if you hear the pitter-patter of little feet, that's the chef. Okay. So, don't touch that dial. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check a few news stories. More of Auburn Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay,
good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk in through a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go.
You know, a thought occurred to me that now that listening to this song, right, Pete Davidson Hurt. Hurt's an essential part of going to that better place, right? It's just part of it. I won't say it's good. It's just part of it. An unavoidable part. And you know what's bullshit? I was thinking about this morning. What's bullshit is somehow the people talk us into this notion that you're gonna get over it, that you can, whether through medication or that you're gonna get over it. It's stupid. Look, I can remember being pissed off at my little league coach because he didn't know shit about being a catcher, right? I legitimately had the fucking red ass at that guy. Okay, now I'm 60 fucking two. Now if I can remember that, having the red ass, and that's when corporal punishment Kathleen smoking her cigarettes, right, picking me up at Parkway Elementary School, all right, I get in the car, shut the door, right, the maroon Bonneville, right, with air conditioning, a kaboom, bitches, exactly, fucking legit. Anyway, so that's when she sensed that I had a bit of the red ass. What's wrong with you? Oh, Mr. Batson doesn't know anything about baseball? Oh, really? That was That was my mom luring me in, right? The Marine Corps has got this song. I lured him in with a piece of bread, and then I crushed his fucking head. So anyway, it's about a song about a little birdie on a windowsill. Anyway, so she looks at me and she says, do you want to play? And I said, yeah. She said, then you do exactly what Mr. Batson tells you. And if you don't think your father would tell you the same thing, you're crazy. Do you understand me? Or you won't play. Right? And like all little kids at that age, there was one thing to say at that point. Yes, Mom. Right? Right? Conversation's over. So now, if I can remember that, and let's just say I was like 10 when that happened. So 52 years later, that's still in my head. How the fuck do you get the traumatic shit out of there? Oh, but if you come talk to me, we can talk it to a good place. Bullshit, man. So once you accept that that is the modern version of the snake oil salesman rumbling around the frontier. Hey, come on, step right up here. We've got some snake oil. It'll cure gangrene. It'll cure your gout. It'll cure your grandma's, you know, I don't know. You know what's gross, too? The amount of Botox injected in news people and political people. When their lips are moving and nothing on the rest of their face moves, oh, my God. Really? What did the world do before it had Botox? I mean, look at it. When somebody's speaking and nothing on their forehead moves, like there's no lines moving, it's like petrified forest. Fucking crazy. So, yeah. So, you know, hurt is part of the process. And if you embrace post-traumatic winning, and I don't know how this came to me. Yes, I do know how it came to me. It came to me when the lady in Macy's asked me if I could explain to her what I do. And I had to give her the Reader's Digest version of it. Right? And so I looked and I said, I teach people how to convert trauma into joy. And that's when she stopped ringing my show. Could you tell me how you do that? Yeah. So you can't forget about it. And this whole notion of getting over it is bullshit. Right? I so need to be on Dr. fucking Phil. Yeah. I had people that told me they were going to get me on Dr. Phil. They're on my shit list. We may not get to the news today. I want to play this little piece of motivation for 22 seconds. At the 22.5 second mark of this, you're going to hear bolts going low, going home on live ammunition. Fucking motivating.
The battle to keep our nation and its people safe has changed. Our world has become more dangerous and more unpredictable.
Yes.
And those who seek to cause harm and destruction take that opportunity all too often. But America has a powerful response.
Oh, did you hear that? That was just the start of it. Here you go. Oh, that, my friends, is a little bit of heaven on earth. It starts at right around the 17-second mark. You ready? Here you go. One more time, just for motivation.
All too often. But America has a powerful response.
The fucking sound of freedom, baby. Right there. Live rounds going into fucking chambers. Let's go. Anyway, only story I'll tell you about in Stars and Stripes today is, do you remember the Marine, the kid in Colorado? There was a poolee. His name is Brendan Bailey. Right? He disarmed a Colorado shooter. Do you remember that kid? He's now a United States Marine. Bailey was one of the students who subdued one of the two shooters who entered a STEM school at Highlands Ranch in Colorado, in the southern suburbs of Denver in May. Last month, he crossed the parade deck at the recruit depot in San Diego as his platoon's guide. During training, he earned a meritorious promotion to private first class. The program for the ceremony says, quote, my thoughts on becoming a Marine were nothing but reinforced after the shooting. What I saw that day was complete and total malevolence. Whoa. Bad outcome. Bad overcome by good. How about that? Using big words. No wonder he went to a STEM school. While many other students ran through the halls shouting or hid during the attack, Bailey and two friends tried to tackle one of the gunmen. Bailey's friend, Kendrick Castillo, 18, was killed in the shooting. What a stud, man. What a stud. So, I mean, how about that for a great story on a Friday? That kid became a Marine last month. So, congratulations to him on a life already well lived. And let's see, headline. Commandant of the Marine Corps considers major changes to improve force retention. Interesting. Hold on. This is written by Phil Athey. Never heard of that guy. Let's see. The current reenlistment process required Marines nearing the end of their enlistment to send a package to the Pentagon, where headquarters Marine Corps. Uh-oh, my printer's doing something. We'll make the final decision on the Marines' future. Why are we still doing it this way, Berger asked at a speaking event held by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank in Washington. In retention, we have to be more agile. We don't have to wait until her last year, her last 6 months, and it doesn't have to go all the way to Washington, D.C. Berger said that another roadblock to retaining talented Marines was the current up-route system. The system can potentially punish good Marines with great potential who may not have a perfect service record due to early career inexperience. Read mistakes. In the Commandant's planning guidance, Berger suggested solving this problem by modifying fitness reports to better identify potential future of a Marine and weigh recent performance higher than past performance. You know what? That's great. You know, one of the other things he's advocated is, and then I have to get to top five stories in early bird, and then the chef's going to join us. But a system of education in the Marine Corps that is much more agile too. With the growth of distance learning, only 20% supposedly. Now this is weird because everybody I know went to school, but supposedly only 20% of captains go to a residential course. I everybody I knew went, like, and I know some true bottom feeders, right? I know some true bottom feeders. The but he's talking about using things that the rest of the country is doing relative to doing to education so that more people can get there, they can do it on their terms, and they get just as much credit as everybody else. Officer and enlisted, right? To bring the Marine Corps into the 20th century of education, and then maybe we can get it to the 21st. Interesting. All right, top five stories in early bird today. Number one, Marine Commandant considers major changes to improve force retention. Now, let me tell you why this is important. Recruiting is getting more and more challenging. You know, look for the Army to do similar things if the Army already hasn't done this stuff. And that is, look, we already have you. There's no need for us to boot you out unless we have to. And so the whole up or out thing, can you go sideways in the Marine Corps if you're competent? Why not? The Brits do it. One of the weird things when I was a lieutenant, you'd hear guys talk about was, yeah, we were over and working with the Brits, and they had this dude. He was like 35 years old, and he was a Lance Corporal. Like, what? Yeah, you can stay in the British Army and never progress, you know, as long as you're a good performer. If you're happy, you like to live in the barracks, you like making a couple thousand dollars a month, if that's what you like to do, stay in. As long as you can do your job, we don't care. Can't do that in the United States military. Yeah. Second story, official. Pentagon didn't listen to Trump on the Ukrainian call. Number three, U.S. officials are worried about Turkish foray into Syria. Hey, look, Turkey wants a piece of Syria. Let me tell you what they're going to unleash inside Syria. At some point, Turkey's going to have its own civil war. That's my prediction. And also doing it, if they head into Syria, is they're hastening that day. Number four, whistleblower accuses largest U.S. military shipbuilder of putting American lives at risk by falsifying tests on submarine stealth coating. Ruh-roh. This is a different whistleblower, not the one we're all reading about, if you read about that shit. Number five, more than a dozen Army Alaska soldiers hospitalized following a static line night parachute jump. This is the thing that happened in Mississippi. They were evidently from Alaska. So, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us here. And so don't touch that dial, whatever you do. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. It's sunny and 65 in San Marcos. School drop-off this morning. Oh, well, good for you. That's what parents do, Rudy. He wants a merit badge. Yeah, because he's dropping off his kid. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. The chef will join us. He's patiently standing by. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on a Friday edition on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.